Last week I wasn't here, and next week I'm going to be away. Panosim of today, the sponsoring was Echa Nishmas, a very, very special and beautiful Talmud of mine from years ago. Reuven Shlomo ben Yisrael Yaakov Halevi's Bob Sendishu, who tragically was nifted this week. And he's in the Shom Shavaliya. The whole family should only have Simcha Nachas and Bracha. And also this week it was an honor, this company of Ben David, in honor of the Yartzeit of Rav Nosson Breslov, Eschusi Yelena. So if Simcha, all of us should be able to be together for Simchas. So we're on page Kuf Samach Beis in this edition. We started Perek Yud Gimel, which I think in the other one is...
Yud Beis.
Is what?
Yud Beis.
Yud Beis, okay. So where it says, B'tara Kuf Nun Vav. This Perek is about how we're able to hear from Hashem. We're talking about how the greatest... One of the greatest challenges that we have in his Hizbodudus is that we're pouring our hearts out, and it's very hard to feel that it's a one-way conversation, Chas v'Shalom. And we believe in Hashem Hizbodudus, and we believe that he's listening, but it's hard, time after time, throughout our lives, to, especially when it's his Hizbodudus, when it's so personal, it's so intimate, and we want to hear from Hashem Hizbodudus. And that's a very, very natural need. But Hashem, of course, is a Kelmistater, and he created this world that there should be Chir Chavshis. And in the meantime, even though we don't have Nevuah, we spoke a little bit about Baskol 2 weeks ago, that Chazal said, Adan Mishtam Shem Baskol, which means, as Reb Tzadik explains, he doesn't bring here this Reb Tzadik, but as Reb Tzadik explains, it means that there are different ways that Hashem does communicate with us. There are ways that Hashem communicates with us. Not as we would like to, like, how you doing, Moshe? How's everything going? Not like that. But he does speak to us in different ways. And that's how Reb Tzadik explains the meaning of Baskol. It's not direct, it's an echo. Things that we see, things that we experience. And but the Sfarim talk about, first of all, Shem Tov said that we spoke about the Baskol that comes out from Har Sinai and is telling each and every one of us to come back to Hashem, but we don't hear the Baal Shem Tov. So the Baal Shem Tov already spoke about how the Baal Shem Tov is something that a person hears within himself. There's this echo within himself that he hears, especially through his bodhis, and that's what we're talking about. Chazal tell us, and Rabbi Nachman, the parak began with this amazing Torah and Rational test. Rabbi Nachman says that When we confess to Hashem and we talk about the mistakes that we've made and we're honest, then the Shechina also cries together with us. And the Shechina feels the pagam of our neshamas, and the Shechina herself is suffering together with us. So to become more sensitive to picking up on these echoes, on these frequencies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what this parak is about, and it's a very big avodah. It's a very big avodah. So where it says B'tar Kuf Nun Vav, Mevi Rabbeinu Zdivei Rashi, Ala Pasuk L'cha Amar Libi, we already learned this, Rashi and Tilim, L'cha Amar Libi, that to you, my heart says, and Rashi says, B'shlichuscha, we spoke about that around a month or two ago, B'shlichuscha, that my heart is speaking to me as a shliach of Hashem. In other words, Hashem Yisbach sends a response through our own emotions, our own feelings, our own awareness. You don't have to be a tzaddik or bal ruach hakodesh. L'chol amar libi b'shlichuscha. That Hashem speaks to a person through his own heart. Klamer machshavas halev shel David. Machshavas halev shel David. Hi machshavas shenishlucha min hashamayim l'toichichei libo. There are machshavas that are sent to us, into our hearts. As David Malch was saying, l'chol amar libi. That my heart is speaking to me. I'm receiving this from Hashem. Thank you. Zokfi anir ha'perish l'nechamah. Hashchina menachemes es ha'adam ha'mizboidei. This nechama that Rabbi Nachman speaks about, that you and I can feel, especially during his bodhidus, that we could feel Hashem giving us chizik and nechama. It's where the person begins to, after the hisbodhidus or during his bodhidus, the person begins to feel that a lot of the weight has just been lifted off of his heart, off of her heart. A lot of the weight is gone. And there's a feeling of simcha that comes after his brothers. Anybody that's in this parish of his brothers knows what that feels like. And that's the Shechina being, that's the Shechina giving nechama. The Shechina is giving nechama. Hadvar misyash from alibo. Umargish bitochen. Well, the person comes out feeling more bitochen, feeling more confident and more secure. He feels this strength in Hashem. Shabavada Yoshienu Vigailen, that Hashem's going to help him. And he feels a deep emuna that everything that he's going through in his life, that Hashem is giving him whatever he's going through is the tovaso. Ha'amitis v'anischis is for his true toiva, and something which might hurt for right now, it hurts now, but forever and ever, it's l'toivasa ha'anischis. And the person, before he started his brothers, he wasn't feeling that way. He might have been feeling very bitter. He might have been feeling very angry and very lost. But through his brothers, a person begins to hear Hashem speaking to him through the heart, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, ta'amin. Time in, trust, liftoach, trust, yetov, it's going to be good. And the person begins to have this hischaskas. And more than hischaskas, begins to feel a simcha. Only the people that are Isaac and his baidudus know the intensity of that, the intensity that one can feel, dafke through speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a direct way. Kishodom zoichel ha'ora me'ashamayim. When a person is zeichet to have this or that Hashem shines into his heart from Shemayim, whom even he understands, even though intellectually nothing was explained to him, nothing changed. He's still in a difficult situation. Intellectually, there's no answer. There's no mahalach that he has intellectually. But somehow the person begins to feel within himself, whom even shahama'avarim shuhu oiver, he begins to understand somehow things. He begins to understand. He begins to feel that what he's going through. Say that he begins to feel that Hashem is doing this l'tayvaso. In other words, hopefully it will end soon. Whatever this tsar is, it should end soon. But right now, he's able to walk away from this burden with this feeling of that Hashem knows what's best for me, and certainly there's some reason for this. Maybe it's a kapara. Lamarik Avanosov, to cleanse me of things that I've done that are wrong. Livdoisimi Marvis, something terrible could have happened to me. Aligram Loshav al Hashem, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu's calling out to me, wants me to come back to him. And the person starts to think, begins to think of things that he could do to get closer to Hashem. Kemosha Kosov, Toshav Enish Adaka, Vetemeshuva B'nei Odom. Perish Hashem Isbach, Mevi Yisurim al Ha'odom Adaka. Sometimes a person is crushed with difficulties. Hurts. But the tachlis of his vataima shuva b'nei adam, and Hashem is really saying to the person, I want you to come back to me. Shuva b'nei adam. V'yisurim eluhu oimalai shuva b'nei adam. So sometimes it's through challenges and difficulties, but a person can begin to hear Hashem saying to come back to me. Shuvu b'nei adam. Ki mikeven shekash baruch hu b'tronim v'raisav. It's a very big klal in our emuna that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not expect of us things that we cannot do. He doesn't have tainus against us for things that are beyond our abilities. So Ein Hashem Yisbarach Mevi Al Adam Nisayin Sheniyoch Lamed Bay. And therefore, if a person is being tested, if he's going through a difficulty, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that you and I can handle it. We can deal with it. Otherwise, we wouldn't be tested in such a way. That we go through difficulties. Sometimes during the hezbaydus, the person finds that he sort of pauses in the conversation with Hashem. He pauses in that conversation, and he begins to actually say words of his chaskus, like, "You could do it. It'll be okay." He begins to talk to himself, his own words of his chaskas. He begins to speak to himself, words of his chaskas. And these are words of his chazkus that he wasn't planning. And sometimes it could be that he starts to sing a niggun, or he says a certain pasuk that he likes, or even a pasuk that he hasn't thought about in 10 years. And these are different ways that Hashem speaks to the person through his own heart and through the person's own diburim, his own words. And now, all of a sudden, when he came to this bardus, he was angry, he was upset, and he had tainus kivyachal against Hashem. And now, at some point during this bardus, he finds he's actually thanking Hashem for what he's going through. Because somehow it became known to him, again, not intellectually, he just feels that this is all part of Hashem drawing him close. And that somehow through these challenges that I'm going through now in my life is going to bring me closer to the tachlis of why I was created. And he has a certain yishuv hadas that it's misyashiv alibo, that this is the way that it has to be. And I'm a kabbal this ba'ahav. And he wasn't really in a place where he had the emotional or even in terms of his amunda, where he had the capacity to deal with that. Because when he walked into this bardus, he was not in a good place. He wasn't. And when he leaves this bardus, he is in a good place. And that's one of the ways that Hashem, these are ways that Kosh Baruch Hu speaks to us. That he speaks to us through our own minds, our own hearts, our own feelings of amunda, our own feelings of bitach, and our own feelings of simcha, our own feelings of acceptance, of kabbalas ol, of determination to move forward and so on. Hashem speaks to us in these ways. Onu lemeidim midavar hamelach. Of course, our biggest Rebbe when it comes to davening, bichlal, and his bardus, of course, is davar hamelach. That's the Rebbe for davening, is davar hamelach. Moshe Rabbeinu is our Rebbe for learning, but davar hamelach is our Rebbe when it comes to davening. Now, davar hamelach did not have an easy life, as everybody knows. He was near the Flamovis, like the Avshalom. I know his son Avshalom was chasing him, was trying to kill him. And this is after he humiliated and disgraced his father. As it says in Navi. Now, David HaMelech had a lot of enemies. And the Sinim, the enemies of David HaMelech, said, you see, you're going through these difficulties because Hashem is unhappy with you. That Hashem is right of you. Hashem is after you. Whoever heard of such a thing that his son should go to kill his father? So his sonim, those who hated him, were pointing to this and saying, you see, that the reason that you're going through this is because of what you did with Bathsheba. Because of the sin that you committed with Bathsheba. So that's why you're going through this, this terrible, terrible ordeal. That's what his sinim were telling him. And you and I have heard from sinim. Sometimes the sinim are outside of you, but more often the sinim are inside of your head. And the sinim are telling you that the reason that you're going through this right now is because you're no good, and Hashem wants to hurt you, and you're being punished for the sake of being punished. And you hear these things from the sonim that are inside of you. It got so bad with David HaMelech that there's an opinion in the Gemara that says, I'm sure many of you have heard of this, it's shocking, but there is an opinion in the Gemara that says, that David HaMelech had considered for some time like going off the derech, big time. I mean, not just missing a day of tefillin or chas v'shalom, text message on Shabbos, but he was thinking of actually leaving Eretz Yisrael and running away and to join the ranks of idol worshippers. Now, the same way that the kids who you see are not keeping mitzvahs, then they really have no inyan with Hashem. They're not against Hashem. None of them are against Hashem. That's not what it is. For whatever reason, they're feeling very broken inside of themselves. So they're trying to run away from that. I had a call from the parent yesterday. Where the parent said that they have a wonderful daughter that's in a, she's in high school, and she seems to be a part of things, and she's been a little bit down in the house lately. And she sends a letter to her parents that I decide, mommy and daddy, I decide I don't want to be frum anymore. I'm finished. That's what she said. I know this is going to hurt you, but I don't want to be frum anymore. Like a letter. I used to get letters, you know, things are nice in camp, you know, or whatever, like the guy in the bed next to me snores at night. This is like a new kind of Igaris HaKodesh. I like some girl in high school. I don't want to be frum anymore. I'm finished with it. Parents are crying. I told them to make a big inyan about it. A big inyan. But it's heartbreaking. But she has something with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She doesn't want to be frum anymore. She doesn't know what it means to be frum. She doesn't know what it means not to be frum. She's hurting from something. And they have to find out what is it that's hurting you. Is something hurting you? Could be somebody hurt you. Did somebody hurt you? I mean, what is it that's hurting you? Why are you? Because the kids, they don't know what to do. So they say, I can't be frum anymore. Because there's that feeling that when they're not feeling good about themselves, or somebody said something about them or to them, whatever it might be, then they think that Hashem agrees with that. Hashem also thinks of me that I'm worthless. That friend, I have no friends, so if I have no friends, he's also not my friend. Why would he want to be my friend if they don't want to be my friends? There's so many things that go on in a kid's head. And it comes out to say something, I don't want to be frum anymore. So I want to run away. So this is not the first time that happened in history. David HaMelech has such a havimina. Of course, as he says right away, it doesn't mean chalil. Just like it doesn't mean with these kids. That chalil, they want to leave Yiddishkeit. David HaMelech wasn't thinking of leaving Yiddishkeit. He was right to Brochen. The Gemara talks about that. That means because the enemies broke his spirit and drove him into a very, very dark place. And when you're in a very dark place, you just run away. Either you bury your head in the ground. Some people, God forbid, take their lives. Some people take drugs. But the easiest thing is to begin by running away from HaKadosh Baruch, to run away from Hashem. So David HaMelech was going through a terrible time. Of course, Bavada ended up a Kipshuto. It doesn't mean Kipshuto, like David HaMelech was going to go to Avodah Zarah. Kishom HaChazal, Shechoshav Lasas, Kem Rechdei Shalei Yischal, Shem Shemayim, Achim Mekom Akam Toz, Hayis V'yodo. It's all Gemara over there, I'm not going into right now. But it doesn't mean just simply that it was going to be an Avodah Zarah. But there was something that was not right, and he was, and even though so Chazal say that he was leaving, he was thinking about leaving Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is the place, it's like Hashem's house. So if you're leaving, why would you leave Eretz Yisrael? You're running away from Hashem, like when Yonah was running away, right? So you're running away. Why would a Jew leave Eretz Yisrael? So because you feel that Hashgacha like is crushing you, and you're not feeling like you could deal with this, so it's better to live in New York than to live in Yerushalayim Lahavdil, because in New York you could make believe that the Baruch Shalom is away, but in Yerushalayim it's very hard to make believe that there's no Baruch Shalom. So there was an Indian on his madrigal, but you can't understand that David HaMelech was thinking of throwing in the towel because of what he was going through in his personal life with his enemies, with his sinim.
Did he have a destination?
We don't know of any. Doesn't say any. The ikkar was to just, you know, it sounds like the chutz la'aretz, away.
Anywhere but where he
wants to be. Yeah, just like a kid who wants to be anywhere but my own house. Dafka with the people who love you most, and to run away from Hashem, dafka with the Baruch Shem who loves you more than anybody. It's a tev of a person who's broken to do that.
What about that all or nothing mentality?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a very strong thing. The all or nothing, because these are usually big neshamas of tohu. So when things are not clicking, the feeling is ani avud, hakol me'evad. It's all for fun. What's for fun? So fine, why you can still keep Shabbos, and if you don't want to daven, so then, okay, so right now don't daven. These are the conversations I'm talking to people about this all the time. Tell your kid, don't worry about davening. So right now you don't feel like davening, it's okay. You're older, if you feel like it, you'll daven. But that doesn't mean you have to eat tarfis and be b'chal Shabbos and get a new wardrobe and all that stuff. Yeah, right away she wants to ready to get a whole new outfit and to a whole new look. And because the B'derech Klal, there's in our generation, there's a lot B'chlal of kitzoniyut, very, very extreme, very kitzoni. Because of the neshamas of Tov, and that's how they're not neshamas of tikkun. The neshamas of tikkun, there's a certain mahalach, there's a certain seder. And if one thing is malfunctioning, then the other things are still working. So one light went off, but there are a lot of other lights. But when the neshamas of Tov, when one light goes off, that's it. I'm back to nothing. I'm back to zero. It's a strong thing in our generation. It's a very, very strong thing. I mean our time, meaning really beginning with the end of the 19th century, started very strong, such a thing. But especially now, it's very, very strong. It's either I'm going to be a tzaddik or I'm going to be a rasha. Either a tzaddik or a rasha. No, so the Alter Rebbe wrote a book called Sefer Shabbeinim. But nowadays you say, oh, but the Tanya's Beinoni, forget it, like that. That's like, I can't be a Beinoni like the Tanya wanted. So what are the choices there? Either I could be a tzaddik, or the Tanya's Beinoni, which I don't know how I could do that, I'm just going to go the other way. That's why you often find that Davka, the chever that go away, they look for such crazy extreme ways that it doesn't even look like they're enjoying themselves. It's just running and running and running and running to get further away. Hashem Yirach. So David HaMelech, Chazal says such a thing that David HaMelech was considering becoming an Oved Avodah Zarah. Can you imagine if David HaMelech's principal got a letter like that David HaMelech sent him? You know, let's say the principal said, I've noticed lately, David, that you don't seem to be into things like you used to be. I don't see you like dancing in the forests and stuff. You know, you don't seem to be your usual self. And he says to the principal, I'm thinking of actually worshiping idols. But David HaMelech, because when a person feels unloved, when he feels unproductive and lost, miserable, so he runs away. He goes like Yonah to the bottom of the boat, and David HaMelech said, I'm gonna run away. Okay, and his madrega again, whatever that means. Hashem is baruch oz al David. Of course, David HaMelech didn't give up. Whole sefer tilim is David HaMelech says baidus. He didn't give up. Who is chazik b'manos amikach shirosh asanhedun imo? Suddenly, see here, David HaMelech is thinking about leaving, about quitting, and then he starts to think about how, But the Sanhedrin, the big tzaddikim, they still are behind me. In other words, they still hold for me, Sanhedrin. So even though he had so many sonim, so many people against him, but he saw that there were fine Jews that still believed in him. And he was Meschazik, was on Mizmula David. And that's when he said, the capital Mizmula David, at the beginning of Tehillim, Mizmula David, Bevarcho b'bnei Avshalom b'no. The song that he sang when he was running away from his son Avshalom. So, of course, everybody knows the famous question. We spoke about it many times over the years. Picture the Gemara, Mizmul David. What kind of song? Mizmul David. I heard Tzarech Lama Kino David. You should say a lamentation, a kina. Not a mizmor, not a niggin, a song. Elish David Omar Im Hayeze Eved Adam Pasol. So the Gemara tells us a strange thing. The Gemara says that if it would have been, that David HaMelech said, if it would have been a servant of mine or another apostle, some bad guy, if it would be somebody else, there would be no hope that the person would have any rachmanis on me. Aval b'ni, but my son, maybe something will break through, and in the end, I'll have Rachmanis, and he won't kill me. So he sang Mizmar. Rabbi Shalom, thank you so much. I appreciate the fact that it's my son that's after me. Because if it would be a stranger or an enemy or something, they would kill me. But it's my son. And my son will have Rachmanis. That was the Mizmar. That was the song of Dodama. So, of course, this is one of the strangest things you could imagine. No, stranger than anything you can imagine. Davizeu Pelotz. This is a wondrous thing. In Nira Adam Shubinai Raidif Lahamisa, you see a father whose son is chasing him to kill him. Could you imagine any one of us? There's somebody whose kid is trying to kill him. And any one of us would go and think of such an Einfalt to put your arm around him and say, boy, are you a lucky guy? You're so lucky that it's your son that's trying to kill you. You're really lucky. First of all, the guy would kill you and say that I wish you should have such nachas like I have. You should also have nachas like me. And bechlau, but a person to even say such an outrageous thing, such a svara. So what the Gemara understands is that what he's explaining is that that wasn't an Eitzah, it wasn't Stam an Eitzah. That David HaMelech had this sudden his chaskas. David HaMelech thought of this. He thought of this. Imagine to say to somebody, why are you worried? Why are you afraid? It's such a chesed that Hashem sent your son to kill you. What a chesed, what a gewaldige chesed. Boy, you should become even more religious now. Because Hashem sent your son to kill you. You're a lucky guy. And you should become more, you should learn more and daven more because Hashem sent your son, because he could have sent a stranger. That's what the Gemara is saying. Miyakshiv Oyam and Ladvarma, who would even listen to such a thing? Sounds crazy. But what happened to David HaMelech? Nishapech Libay. His heart turned around. He was singing. Mizmor LaDavid. He was singing. I've spoken to you a number of times over the years. Chazal make a chilek. Some of the kippet lechem until and begin LaDavid Mizmor, right? And some begin Mizmor LaDavid. It's interesting. The David Mizmer, David, and then the song. And some begin with the song, and then David. So Chazal tell us that when David Melch was in a high place, and everything was great, and he was a place of Ruach HaKodesh, it was on fire, right? He was on fire. Then it was David, and David sang a song, with David Mizmer. But then there were times that he was so completely broken, and he had no Ruach HaKodesh at all, and he was in the dirt, and he didn't know what to do. So the only thing he could do was he began to sing a niggun. He began to sing a niggun. And through that mizmor, he came back to becoming David. The mizmor, the song gave him strength. So sometimes it was the David mizmor. That's when he was going, he had a good day. And then when it was a bad day, it was a mizmor. And through the mizmor was the David. And that song that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into a Jew's mouth, that song of those words, of those thoughts, it's how Hashem also sends our way. I was talking yesterday. I work out with this wonderful Yid, a friend of mine. He's a trainer, and I work out with him. And he was telling me yesterday that he's training with a Bacher. He trains a Bacher. He works with a Yeshiva Bacher. And he's working with him for the last 3 months or so. And the Bacher, every single time that they work out, puts on the same niggun. Puts on the phone. That's his niggun. He puts on the same niggun, and the trainer says he's going out of his kelim. Like he doesn't know what to do about it, but he doesn't want to argue with the guy. It's his, he's paying me, and he gets to choose the niggun. But he says I don't know. So I said to him, listen, obviously this is his training niggun. It could be he doesn't listen to it all the time, but he, like, in order for him to do that push up, he has to hit, like whatever. He can't do the push ups without this niggun. He's gotta hear this niggun. So. But there's that niggun that Hashem sends you when you need it. There's that niggun. And Hashem Zbach sends you that niggun. The Koch and the Gina, we're not going to go into it now. It's going to be part of this also because it's a big part of his Bardus. It's to sing during his Bardus. We'll talk about it more. It's a huge thing, the Koch and the Gina. So Hashem sends to David HaMelech Anigin. Mizmor LaDavid. Mizmor LaDavid. Bevarcha b'nei Avshalom b'nai. He sings a song. A nigin comes into his mouth. And David HaMelech starts to sing this nigin. And then his life comes back to him. His emunah comes back to him. He begins to think about the Kadosh Baruch Hu's love for him, and in that new way of thinking, which is his old way, but in that new way of thinking, so Hashem is saying to him, "Listen, right now in your life, this is what you have to go through. This is the matzav of your life. It's good that it's your son. Trust me. It's better that it should be your son than to be somebody from Amalek or some Russia, a plishti. You know, it's better like this. It's better." And he was able to hear it. So people from the outside can't hear this at all, because we don't hear the niggin, you understand? So we don't hear this at all. To us, it's like a strange thing. So any outsider that would come and say to David HaMelech, listen, it's okay, you know, it's a big chesed from Hashem, David HaMelech would just get angry. How could you say such a thing to me? It's a chesed that my son is trying to kill me? But one second. But David HaMelech didn't hear it from an outsider. He heard it from an insider. He heard it from the creator, Mamash. And when he heard it from the Creator, somehow, he heard it from the Creator, and it brought him back to this place of David HaMelech, brought him back to a place of his chazkus of David HaMelech, and he said to Baruch Shalom, Ah, Mizmor LaDavid Bevarchem LaHashem, Hashem Mo Rabu Tzarei Rabim Kamer LaRabim Omer LaNafshei Nishlo Asav LaKim Tzelo, and he says in that kapitel, he spells out why he was so tzibrochem, Rabim Omer LaNafshei Ein Yisro Asav LaKim Tzelo, that everybody hates me, and everybody's telling me that I'm lost because of what I did with Bashar. That I'm never going to have Olam Hazes for Falun, Olam Haba. I'm never going to have an Olam Haba. I'm ruined. I'm destroyed. I'm done. He says in the capital, but he's talking now. He's back. He's back. He's back in the game. He was running away to Avodah Zarah, whatever that means. He was running away from Eretz Yisrael. He was going to leave. He was looking for a way out. And now it's David HaMelech again. David HaMelech crying. Yeah. David HaMelech is worried. He's crying. He says, I have so much sorrows. Rabbim Kamim Alai. Boy, I have so many enemies that are trying to kill me. Rabbim Oim Lenavshi, Eni Shoasal Bekim Lasel. I have no Yeshua. That's where it comes from. But now he's in his bar to see the Nigin and the Samuna, and he's in a place of asking Hashem for help. That's where he is right now. An outsider can't bring you to that. That's maybe some of the that I shouldn't say it. No, an outsider, which for sure, tzaddik could bring a personal. Someone that you know loves you no matter what, a mother, a father, dearest friend, whatever, could bring you to that. But it's not stam. A stranger for sure can't bring you to that. Hashem Zachazal David was chazim, you know, some kashra, yeah. Bismillah David, hi, tzarech lama kin David. We're past there 1 second. Kate said, gam nishapach libo shal David ma'achshavta arishon. How did his heart turn around? How did his heart turn like that? From the first machshava, shenofel b'dayta kol kach, that he was in such a bad place, he had such a nefila, he was in such a bad place. Ad shebikesh, ad kidei kach, that he was in such a bad place, that he was bikesh l'avod avodah zarah, that he was considering avodah zarah. And then his heart turned, mamish, ben akotze l'akotze, and David HaMelech is mizmor l'David. How did such a thing happen? You want to know how it's possible, because you look at that capital and you see the David HaMelech never stopped talking to Hashem. That's the theme of David HaMelech's life. I'm not going to stop. If this is bothering me and I'm thinking about running away, I'm going to talk to you about it. I'll tell you, I can't take it anymore. I'm not just going to go disappear from shul, like so many people do, or disappear from mitzvahs and Yiddishkeit. I'm going to talk to you about it. David HaMelech never stopped talking to Hashem. That's the key. David HaMelech was always, even when he was hurt and broken and angry and disappointed, and he was thinking of doing crazy things, he always said, I got to talk to you about this. And he always spoke to Hashem about it. And they said, David, well, pasach min lefaris yichosel et me'ashem. Kama shekosev, ani tefila. That's his whole life, ani tefila. Zuhi tamsis mohusu shel David. This is the essence, the tamsis, the mohus of David HaMelech's davening. Va'ani tefila. L'chein, therefore, k'shapir shichos al tnei Hashem, when he began, talked to Hashem, v'lod l'zikos, v'richem alav Hashem esbar, because Rav Nachman always was talking. So Hashem Yisbarach sent him into his heart a niggun, a feeling, a thought. And then all of a sudden, Rav Nachman had this crazy idea that it's better that my son is chasing after me than a stranger. Crazy idea. Was heavy beliba nechama, and then Hashem through that, Hashem gave him nechama. Through that, Hashem gave him nechama. Sha'af echad boilim and yochla nachim. No other person in the world could have given such nechama, could have gone over to say such diburim of nechama. The thing that Dovid HaMelech came up with, really, it wasn't his idea. It was Hashem Yisbarach gave him that idea and opened him up, and he began to sing, and he was talking, and then Hashem gave him this idea. V'nei shenechama zu, he aris b'nei Hashem. Because this nechama is the aris, the light of Hashem's face. Ha'aris b'nei Hashem. V'gilui rachmanusei yisbarach ha'me'ir b'libah shel adam, Hashem revealing his love and his rachmanis that shines into the person's heart, that all of a sudden he begins to feel that Hashem does have rachmanis on me. Hashem has rachmanis on me. And then we spoke a lot about this with Rachman and Lukut Amran Tzadikei, but Tzar Hechavtali, that when you're in a tzar, in a terrible place, Hechavtali, and through that Nakuda in the tzar to see that Hashem is still there, that Hashem does care about you, and you see something, a chesed of Hashem in that difficult situation, to look for a chesed from Hashem. That's the most important avodah. So we spoke about that Chanukah, that was the holy name of Chanukah. In that terrible, terrible matzav, to find that light of the candle. But tzara chavtali, to be able to see Hashem's love in a terrible situation. But what he's explaining is that the way that David Malch was able to come to that is because he was always talking to HaKadosh Baruch. He was always talking to HaKadosh Baruch. Even when he was upset, or he was angry, when he was bitter, he was always talking to Hashem. Al ze amar David, ani amati b'chavzi, kol ha'adam kaizev. Regarding this, David Malch said, ani amati b'chavzi, kol ha'adam kaizev. Because, I mean, I said during the time that I was running, that I was rushing, kol ha'adam kaizev, that human beings are a sheker, are false. Kol ha'adam kaizev. So what does that mean? We say that in Halo. Perish ani amati b'chavzi. It means, this is the way the Radak explains, ani amati b'chavzi, kshenechpazti levroch mishol ha'melech. When I was running away from Shol ha'melech, Shol ha'melech also wanted to kill him. So when I was running away from Shol ha'melech, me'achish melech gat, so he was hiding over there by achish melech gat. He was running away from Shol, and he went to the enemy there also after him. And may have Sholem Bini, and he was running away from his own son, was after him. There's a whole minion of people who were after David HaMelech. Those are the leaders. I mean, they had chassidim. They were after David HaMelech to kill him. Kol ha'adam kaizei. So the Radak explains, what's the connection? Ani amati b'chavzi. Meaning I'm a fugitive. That's what it means. Ani amati b'chavzi. And while I was running away from Achish, from Shaul, from Avshalom, while I'm running away, from the whole world is after me to kill me. Everybody hates me. While I'm running away, ani amati b'chavzi. What did he say? Kol ha'adam kaizei. What's the pshat? What's the name? Kol ha'adam kaizei. That human beings are liars. Kol ha'adam kaizev, like sheker v'chazev, liars. What's one thing have to do with the other? So the Radak says a gevaldige thing. He says, "Klaimer, kol ha'adam sheyomer li Hashem azav v'ischa." Anybody who tells me, those people, because now everybody's telling me that Hashem is also your enemy. It's a chesed shavar from the Radak. You hear this? That because everybody was saying to him, you see, look. Look, because you did that avera, you see that Hashem hates you, varaya. He sends all these people to kill you, to destroy you. So regarding what those people were saying, David HaMelech said, Kol Adam Kaizeh. We're all liars. Klaimer, Kol Adam Shiyomli, Hashem Azav. Anybody that says to me that Hashem has, anybody that's part of that, you know, that choir, that's singing that song that you see, Hashem has left you, who Kaizeh is a liar. Anyone that says that is a liar. That's a lie. Devar v'hem sheker v'chazer, it's a lie. Hashem me'olam le'azavani. Hashem has never ever left me, and He never will leave me. That's amazing. Ani amati b'chavzi kol ha'adam kaze. You have to say that also inside of yourself. That part of yourself, that's the liar. It's one thing to hear from other people, but when you hear it inside of yourself, you hear it inside of yourself. And you hear inside of yourself a voice that's saying to you, Baruch Hashem was also angry with you. Nobody won. You start to hear that, Kol Adam Kozev, that's a lie. Hashem never ever is saying to me such a thing. No matter what it is that I'm going through, and no matter what difficulties I'm having, Hashem is not saying to me, get lost. I don't want you anymore. That's a sheker, this way of David HaMelech that we're learning about today, David HaMelech, this is the Nachlas Mavakesh Hashem. This is the life of a Mavakesh Hashem. It's not just to be an Orthodox Jew. Just being an observant Jew doesn't give you this kind of chizik. It's Nachlas Mavakesh Hashem to feel Hashem saying things to you, to believe that Hashem sent you this niggun, to believe that Hashem sent you a new shat of emunah, to believe that Hashem hasn't left you and will never leave you. That's the Nachlas Mavakesh Hashem. That's the chesidus of David HaMelech, you understand? That's David HaMelech's chesidus. That's why, especially at the end of time, you see David HaMelech and everything is chesidus of David HaMelech, which is the chesidus of Baal Shem Tov. That's the chesidus of David HaMelech. Hashoivchem libam kemayim noichach b'nei Hashem. Gamot tzarasei magashvim. Mavakesh Hashem, even when they're going through tzaras, They don't stop talking to Hashem. They don't give God the silent treatment. They don't walk away. They continue to talk and to argue and to beg and to cry and to complain. But they're in the union with Hashem. That's Mavakesh Hashem. Those who are seeking Hashem. Because they believe that the Yeshua depends completely on Hashem. So why am I going to run away from Hashem? The only way I could have Yeshua is with Hashem. Why should I run away from Him? But that's what people do. They run away. But the Yeshua is from Hashem. So how am I going to help myself with the Yeshua if I'm running away from Hashem? How does that help with the Yeshua? And as long as you stay in the sugya and you keep on davening, you keep on talking, you're zoichet the nechama. Hashem sends you a niggun. Hashem sends you a machshava, a thought. Tikva, He sends you hope. Emuna. Havona v'hagosha shekom ha'adav rachmar l'tav avid. Inside you feel that everything that Hashem does is, He knows what He's doing, it's good. Somehow it's good for me. I don't understand, I don't see that, but my heart tells me that it's good. Shekol ma'oyroisav heim l'tovosa. Shabbi Nachman says is a b'china v'ilam hab. When a Jew lives in this world believing that everything that Hashem does is for his best, even though he can cry and ask Hashem, please, I don't see this. Could you make it in a way that's more obvious to me? And it's easier for me. Of course, a person can and should daven for that. But if it's not going the way that he wants or that she wants, this emunah shekol ma'ayreisav l'tayva, that's me'ein olam haba. That's me'ein olam haba. That's a life of olam haba, to live in such a way with that belief, strong belief like that. With tremendous emuna in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I think we'll stop here because I'm not going to be able to explain the post-tradition. But the challenges of David's front house were not only coming from the outside. He had tremendous, you look into him, you see. Tremendous challenges inside of himself. And we have a...
directly from Hashem as the instigator, right. So it's hard to turn back and say,
yeah, right. So when you see it like so clearly, in a way that's easier. But the Milchamas they had within himself, because the Sfarim say that all of these external enemies were also internal enemies. So he went through whatever we go through. He went through all this kind of stuff that we go through. And that's why Tilim is, that's why we can't live without it, because we feel that David HaMelech understands us. We feel that he's a survivor, you know? That he's a survivor, David HaMelech. And we feel that when you learn a certain Sfarim, you feel that also by certain tzaddikim. Rabbi Nachman, the feeling that very, very strong. Whoever learns to look at the Maran, you feel that Rabbi Nachman is like he's on the train with you, you know? Not that he's talking to you from some fancy Beis HaMedrash, like with a microphone or a Zoom. When it was with Rabbi Nachman, you feel that he's like walking through the forest, holding your hand. I mean, that's how I feel. Everybody has their own tzaddikim. You feel connected, and there are other tzaddikim if you like that. But with Rabbi Nachman, I never felt such a thing like that. When I first felt that with Rabbi Nachman, that like you know you're looking at Rabbi Shalom, where are you? Where are you? And then like you turn around, and Rabbi Nachman is right next to you, and said, "I'm gonna try to find him together. You know, I'm here with you." There was such a feeling of Rabbi Nachman. Such a feeling of Rabbi Nachman that I'm tzaddikim. That's the thing. When you go to Uma, and it's a different parasha. Right?
Did David HaMelech's son also want to kill his mother or father?
We don't see anything like that.
We don't know. I think it's important. I mean,
I'm not saying it's not important. We don't see such a thing. Why should we assume of it?
David HaMelech always was talking with Hashem. Did he ever talk with his wife?
No, that doesn't mean that you don't talk to your wife.
No, I'm just saying. Was he also big on talking to his wife?
So the Chavetz Chaim was also talking. So was Rabbi Nachman, the Tzaddikim, talking when they're talking to their children and talking to their wives and talking to their wives, talking to their husbands. It means that all of their conversations, all of their talking was with that consciousness and that awareness of Kadosh Baruch Hu. But they were directly talking to a wife, to a child. The word tzaddikim, that even when they spoke to other people, that their words contained all kinds of mysterious things, like we see in Parshas Vayigash, last week's Parshas. Vayigash Elav Yehuda, he says, Vayyam Abi Adayni. So we see, if you look in the Zohar Kodesh, the Sfarim HaKadoshim, it says, that even though Yehuda was talking to, it looked like Yehuda was talking to this strange ruler, but Yehuda was really talking to Hashem. I want to say something into your ear that he was saying. It was his bardus. It looked like he was saying. It looked like he was talking to Yosef, but he was really talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a deeper way. The tzaddikim that they did, that they were able to live in such a way. I'm sure David HaMelech, you and I, people like us, can't imagine talking to two at the same time. But they were able to live in such a place that they spoke completely to a child, completely to a husband, to a wife, and they were diburim that were HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not a contradiction. We just can't. We're not on the level that we could understand such things. We can't even understand. We can't even concentrate on talking to a person once in a while. Without this and without that, and forget about talking at the same time. That means, but they were in such a Bali Madrega. They were in such a place that they were talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and talking to that person with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and through HaKadosh Baruch Hu every second. But that didn't mean they didn't talk to their family. They spoke like other people. And they spoke to the guy in the store and they said, "I'll have a pound of potatoes." They went to the market. They went to the. The Chavetz Chaim is a very talkative person. That's what they say. That he was very talkative. He was very friendly. When he went over to Chavetz Chaim, he said, "Good morning, Rabbi." He didn't say to you, "Shavisa Hashem." He said, "Good morning." It's a happy, normal person. And David HaMelech was for sure the happiest, most normal person that ever lived. It's not for sure.
100%. And is there any place that talks about the reasons why the son wanted to kill his father?
Yeah, Lord Navi. The whole Navi is filled with this. Okay, that's your homework for Shabbos. Should we continue?